many today are ready for change? Are you ready to get out of your comfort zone? Thank you, all three of you. Praise God. I guess we're going to preach this one in a couple of years so we get everybody on board at this pace. Let me ask you again, how many are ready to serve the Lord with all of your heart? Amen. Are you ready to get out of your comfort zone? Okay, thank you for those faith amens. I know, because it's not an easy thing, is it? That is not an easy thing to say we want to get out of our comfort zone. It's not a natural part of who we are. We like our comfort zone. That's why they call it comfort, because we like being in places that are secure, familiar, and we like being in places we feel comfortable in. And so when we talk about getting out of our comfort zone, it means me going to new places, me trying new things, me stepping out of unfamiliar and say, God, I'm willing for you to stretch me. And we all like being stretched, right? There's no pain involved in that, is there? Snap, crackle, pop. You go to a chiropractor, you're sore the next day because you've been stretched. There's something about getting stretched that leaves us a little sore. So, but how many know when we step out of our comfort zone, there is the breeding ground for miracles. There is the breeding ground for God to do something great in our midst. And we've seen people throughout Scripture who would step out of their comfort zone and say, God, I'm going to pursue you and be obedient to your voice. He would take the small and multiply it and make it great. And so today we are looking at getting out of our comfort zone, leaving the place of comfort and saying yes. The last few weeks we talked about getting out of that comfort zone, leaving that place behind. Pastor Matt did such a great job of speaking last week of leaving relationships that we've had in the past and saying, God, we want to break through that barrier and building new relationships. Many of you attended small groups for the first time last week. I want to give you a hand. Yeah, give yourself a hand. Yeah. You're getting out there. You're trying things and getting out of your comfort zone. I really encourage you, keep that up. Just let God do what he wants to do in your life. How many know we're fishing, right? Every day I'm fishing, isn't it right? How the song goes? Oh, shuffling. Anyway, something like that. But how many know that we need to be fishers? And we gotta be fishers. He says, those who follow me are what? Fishers of men. Come follow me, I will make you fishers of men. So we gotta learn to be fishers. And I've been hearing stories over the last few weeks of many of you are saying, Pastor, I'm learning to fish again, and I'm learning this, just to throw it out there, and God's doing some amazing things. And today, I wanna talk to you about getting out of our comfort zone and giving God our all. Everybody say all. How many knew that all was spelled A-W-L? Is that a typo back there, Garrett? Is that a typo? I don't know. Some of you are thinking it's a typo. No, it's not a typo. It's actually a word used in the Scripture. We're going to find it here in our text. And we're going to use it according to the way the text is used. And also we're going to relate it to also giving God our all as well this morning. Let's get right into our text about giving God our all. Exodus 21, verses 2 through 7. And before I read this morning, let me preface it by saying that many times in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, that God had to give rules and regulations according to where the people were. And so when he gave out these instructions, the children of Israel had just left the land of slavery to the Egyptians, Pharaoh, and they were setting up their new land in the Promised Land. And they were having to learn how to deal with people who were slaves to other people. And what I want you to preface is, as we hear this, sometimes we think, boy, is the Bible for slavery? The Bible was not for slavery, but there were certain regulations that went on. And if you study the Bible out in the Old Testament, God was very adamant, okay, for those of you who are working as slaves, there is a certain way that he commanded the masters to treat us, the slaves. And to be honest with you, the slaves, in order to be a slave according to Scripture, if they were doing it according to Scripture, they had to be treated just like family. That the slaves had to be treated. He said, treat your slaves as you would treat yourself. Feed them what you would feed yourself. Give them a place to sleep as you would give your family a place to sleep. And so as a slave in this day was treated much different than what our mindset is thinking back of current slavery that was abolished. And so I want you to realize that this slavery that God was talking about, he was talking about for those who owed a debt, that many times they would have to go and be a slave to pay off their debt for 6 years. And to pay off that debt, but they were treated in a way, and he makes sure, if you have a slave, you gotta treat them like family. And they were oftentimes treated a lot better as a slave than they were as a non-slave. And so, I want you to kinda get this pretext as we go into this, knowing what we're talking about here in Exodus 21. Let's read in verse 2 through 7. He says, if you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years. And in the seventh, he shall go out free and pay nothing. So if you owed a debt, if you buy him, or if he owed you some money and he could not pay you back, you had a fair reason by law to go to the judge and say, this person has not paid me back the debt they owed me. And that judge would then sentence him according to law to work for you up to 6 years, either until they paid off the debt or they worked 6 years and their debt was paid in full. And the seventh year they were set free. Look what he says though. Here's the stipulations. If he comes in by himself, he should go out by himself. If he comes in married, if he comes in to be a slave and he's married, then his wife shall go out with him. She's free as well. But if he comes in single, and his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and the children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. Look at the last part of this scripture. It says, but if the servant plainly says, I love my master, I love my wife, and I love my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him to the judges, to the center courts of the city, and he shall bring him to the door and to the doorpost, the center part of the city. And his master shall what? Pierce his ear with what? An awl. That's where we get this word awl from. He shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. And so this is basically the way it happens was, if you owed a debt or you were bought in and you were single, you served 6 years and you received your freedom. If you brought in a wife and children with you before you were slaves and became a servant, then they were free to go with you. But if the servant gave you a wife while she was there, then that wife could not leave with you. She was property of the master. If you had children with her, they were also property of the master. But you were free to leave after 6 years. You were free to leave if you wanted to. But if you said, you know what, I love my master, I love my wife, and I love my children, I want to stay, and I'll voluntarily say, Master, I want to serve you so I can live and serve with my family and I can stay in this great place. Because many of them, like I said, many of them had a much better life working with the master than they ever did on their own. And so this is why they could say, I love my master. It wasn't something they said, well, you know, you got to say you love me, and they really don't mean it, you know. They actually, many of them loved their master because they became like family. They were treated like family. They were treated better. And if they were poor and owed money, and all of a sudden, a rich man brings you on to his staff to pay off the debt, that man, you just upgraded highly on your standard of living. And you were fed highly, probably upgrade to what you were. And so many of them truly loved their master. This is not something they had to do because they were saying, you better say you love me. They could actually freely say they loved their master because they were treated like family. And he said, you got to say you love your master, love your wife, love your children. Then I'll freely serve you for the rest of my life. Our family will live in your courts. Our family will live in the blessing of this master's home. And man, we're going to live heavenly ever after. I mean, this is a great place. This is a good place to be. And he would be taken to the center of the court, and they would take an awl. An awl, a modern day awl would look something like an ice pick. It was a metal stake that was used. Back then, today it's used more like an ice pick. Back then it was used more like an iron stake. And they would take it and they would drive it in. And can you imagine going and having your ear? All right, here's my ear. Take my ear and drive the awl through it. Drive the stake through it. Ding! Right in your ear. And it doesn't go through the first punch. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. I do not like shots. I don't even like shots. Anybody relate to me? How many say, honestly, I don't even like shots? More or less getting a stake driven through my ear. Right? Landon, do you like shots? Is it right if I tell them what you and I go through when we get shots at the doctor? Is that all right? Thank you for your permission, son. Anyway, when me and Landon go get shots, this is the way it looks. Me wrapping my arms around that big old husky boy and holding him down while the nurses give him a shot. I mean, it's not an easy thing, is it, Landon? We don't like shots. That's all right, son. I feel your pain. I am the same way. I'd much rather go in pain than to get my shot. Who would figure? Anyway, I don't like shots either. But they would take the stakes and they would drive them through the ear, symbolizing, therefore, that you freely gave yourself as a slave to the master. And this is the priority we see here, I believe, is the priority of our life that's really set in order. Because remember what we talked about. The Old Testament is always pointing a picture of our relationship with Jesus Christ in the New Testament. So these stories we see and the things we see are preparing us for God's righteousness, for God's standard, for our relationship with Christ. And we see it here. This really is the pattern that God wants us to have. That if I don't want to be, I can have my freedom, but I have to come and say, if I want to be to the master and be my family, I got to say, I love you, master. I love my wife and I love my children. You see, I don't have to love my master. It's a free choice. That person can walk away free. He can say, I don't have to love my wife. I can walk away free. I don't have to love my children. I can walk away free. But there was a standard that was set. And it's a pattern. I believe it's God's pattern for our own life. That God wants you and I to say, I love my master. Who is my master? How many know I know the master? Anyone ever knows? It's our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is our master, our Lord and Savior. He is our master, and we love Him. And when I love Him with all of my heart, when I learn to love Him with everything I have, then I can love my spouse the way I need to, and I can love my children the way I need to. But when I love myself more than I love my master, things are going to be out of whack. I'm not going to have a good relationship with my spouse because I can't truly love her the way I need to love her. You would not love your husband the way you need to love your husband if you don't truly love the Father. I mean, I'm not talking about just a head knowledge of saying, oh, I know He died for me and I accept Him as Lord of my life. I'm talking about love. Where you long to be in the presence. Where you long to hear the voice. Where you long to read what He has to say to you. Where you long to be in the presence of worship like we were just in. And it moves your heart because you're so deeply in love with Him. You're so deeply moved that you want to be in His presence. I'm talking about a true love. And when you have that true love, then you can return love your spouse the way you need to love them. And you can love your children the way you need to love them. See, some of us have done the opposite. We've put other things. We put jobs, careers, love of money, love of things, love of self. We put them in the first priority, and we sit right in our comfort zone and do it. And then we think, all right, then I can love God, then I can love my spouse, and then I can love my family. It's not going to work. It'll never work. It'll never work. It'll never work. And if you wonder why you're having problems, I would tell you, go back and look at your priority level. See where this list falls in your life. If you've allowed anything other than God to be the numero uno, number one in your life, you are missing it. Because it's when I put God first. God, I'm in love with you. I don't have to, but I want to love my master. I want to love my master. And as I do that, then I have return, I have enough strength, and I have enough wisdom, and I have enough love to love my wife the way she needs to be loved, to love my spouse the way she needs to be loved. Let me tell you this, the best love you can ever show your children is to love your spouse unconditional. Oh, that was great, wasn't it? Amen. I tell you guys. Let me say it again. The best thing you can do to show your children you love them is to love your spouse unconditional. Does that mean you'll never have a fight or never have your argument? That's not what I'm talking about. You know it's not what I'm talking about because we all have those times. But what I'm saying is when you love God with all of your heart, it will cause you to love your spouse the correct way. It'll cause you to love your children the right way. I mean, I just tell you, God gives me a love for my family that only He can give. The other day, we just came back from the conference, and we've been at the conference all week, and we had a lot of work beforehand. And, man, I was just mentally and physically really, really tired. We've been up early, up late, all week long, and even the week before. I'd been doing the same thing, getting things ready. And so I had Friday sketched off. I had Pastor Matt preaching. It actually wasn't planned that way, but it worked out that way. I said, thank you, Jesus. You know exactly what I needed. And so Pastor Matt got to be the one to preach that week, and he loves doing it. I don't mean it that way at all, but what I'm saying was I had a free day. I was like, all right, so I can just take Friday. I can catch up. I got a lot of things in my desk I need to catch up on. I need to catch up on some rest and get ready. And I got home for the conference, and then my twins were waiting right there. Dad, you promised us you were going to take us to the fair. And I wanted so bad. I said, Dad, I'm so tired. But you know what? The Holy Spirit gave me a strength. I was like, no, you know what? I'm going to get up, and we're going to skip school tomorrow, and we're going to go to the Tulsa Fair. And we're going to eat all kinds of fried food. Now, for you teachers and principals out there, we went to the fair. How many know the fair is educational? It really is. You got to do math. How many tickets does it take to ride this ride? How much money we got to make it all day to eat? Okay. You got to do math. Okay. You got to see the petting zoo and all those things. All right. Physics. This is how this ride goes upside down. We believe in teaching our kids the right things. So I get up early and we drive. And we spend all day at the fair, man. We walked and we ate and we had fun and we built lifetime memories that one day because I chose to love my family the way I should. I could have said, no, I'd much rather be right here. But because I love the Lord with all of my heart and I come back and I love my spouse, you know what? I want to love my children. And I can't put my children above God. Some of you are real good at that. We'll put all our focus on our children. We put them above our spouse, even a priority over our relationship with God. And then 10 years goes by, and they grow up, and they're out of the house, and we're looking at each other like, who are you? Who's a stranger? What am I? My priorities are all out of whack. This doesn't seem right. Why? Because my priorities were out of whack. Therefore, things don't flow the way it should. And so I've got to make sure that I'm keeping myself in love with God. I got to make sure I keep my heart right, saying, God, I'm giving you my all. I'm giving you everything I am. I'm going to love you. I choose to love my master, which in return, he gives me love to love my spouse and to love my children according to the way I could never do on my own. It's only through God's grace. Someone say, amen, Pastor. All right, there we go. Let me tell you the first thing I want you to know today. See, when you love the master, he has your ear. That's what happens. You gave your ear for that all to be pierced through. You say, Master, I freely give you my ear. You can pierce it as a symbolic of saying, I belong to you freely. I gave myself. He didn't buy me, but I freely gave him myself. And you gave your ear to be pierced by the all. Today, how many know that when you've given your heart to the master, he has your ear? You hear his voice. That's what he says in Scripture. You've heard me teach it. He says that he is the great shepherd and the sheep shall hear his voice. And if you're not in love with him, if you're not giving him your ear, you're not going to hear his voice. You're going to miss out on the direction. He wants to speak into your life great things. He wants to speak into your life. You see, this is the problem. We depend upon society to tell us what to do. What does the polls say I should do? What does peer pressure tell me I should do? What does the majority tell me what I should do? And one thing we know, the majority always gets it wrong. Isn't that true? Almost every time, majority almost always gets it wrong. And we got to stop saying, you know what? I'm looking for everybody else to give me my direction. I got to say I'm giving my heart fully to my master. I'm giving him my ear, and I'm going to listen to what he tells me. Because society will say to you while you're in your comfort zone, you can never do it. You remember your past. Remember your failures. You'll never have enough money to do that. You'll never see that accomplished. That dream is way too big. You don't know where you came from. You don't know what you've done. And they'll continue to speak into you and keep you strapped right there in a comfort zone. But when you have the ear of God, God speaks into your life, pulls you out of the comfort zone and says, I've got great plans for you. Just because you're a single mom doesn't mean God doesn't have great plans for you. Just because you've blown it doesn't mean God doesn't have great plans for you. Just because you came from a family you didn't have a lot doesn't mean God doesn't have great plans for you. He wants to call into you greatness. He wants to call out of you the things of God, but you got to give him your ear. If you're not giving him your ear, if you're not giving him your heart and hearing what he has to say, you'll be stuck there for the rest of your life. No, we got to fall in love with the master. Give him our ear and let him speak to us. Let him speak words into my life. Listen, just because everybody else says it's right doesn't make it right. If God's word still says it's wrong, it's wrong. And we got to know right from wrong. We got to hear his voice. We got to read his word. If I will open up his word and read it and see what the word of God speaks, it will speak to my life truth. It will speak to my life freedom. It will speak to my life the promises that God has for me and you. But he's got to have my ear. He's got to have my heart. It starts when I say, I love my master freely. But everything else falls in line. Look what Deuteronomy 6:4-5 says. I love this scripture. You've heard it before. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. He gives us three areas to serve him in. It's a three-dimensional love. See, some of you, you don't have that three-dimensional love. Some of you are stuck in analog. How many remember analog signals? Before they had, you know, before we had component, and now high definition, and now 3D. I mean, things are just, man, so if you've ever watched a football game in high definition, then go back and try to watch it in analog, you just can't be satisfied. Right, guys? I mean, any guys feel my pain right here? You know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah, revival is breaking out across the church right now. Some of you right now are saying, you're writing this down. You've been asleep the whole service. Now you're writing this down. Honey, God wants us to get a new HDTV. I just feel it. Hallelujah. But some of us, that's the way it is. We because of our love is so one-sided. We just have it right here in our mind. I believe he's my Savior. I've prayed that prayer, and that's all I need. I've just done that one time, and I really haven't developed that relationship with God. It's a one-dimensional. And you're going to, it's like watching TV on a grainy picture, man. You only see so far. But, man, when you operate in all three of these areas, you begin to see things three-dimensional. I love you, God, with all of my mind, with all of my soul, with all of my heart, with all of my strength. I give you everything, and I love you. Man, you walk into a higher definition of God's love. You hear him at a higher definition. Your vision becomes clearer for what he's directing your life. This is why it's important that we give him all of our heart. This is why I fall in love with him over and over again. Make no mistake about it. You're going to choose to serve something. Every one of us serves something or somebody. Some of us serve ourselves. We stay there in our comfort zone. We'll say, our master is ourself. I'm going to please myself. I'm going to serve myself. I'll do what myself wants to do. Some of us serve addiction. Some of us serve people. We always got to have a relationship. We're always looking for that next relationship, and we're nothing without that security, without that. You know what I'm talking about? We got to get beyond serving those things. That God, first and foremost in my life, I want to learn to give you all of my heart. I want to learn to serve you. I want to serve you because I've learned this one thing, and this is the kicker right here. All right, are you ready? I've learned this right now. We got to know this, that I am much more free serving my master than I ever was serving myself. And that's what the world doesn't get. Well, I don't want to give up this, and I don't want to give up that, and I don't want to stop doing this, and I just want to do what I feel like. And what we don't realize, we are living our life in bondage. It's only the only freedom comes when I say, God, I truly enslave myself to you and your kingdom. I truly want to serve you. I truly want you to pierce my ear. I truly want you to come and say, God, I want to publicly say, I willingly give my life to serve you the rest of my life. And then when I do that, man, it sets me free. I'm set free from the person I used to be. He's come to set me free. He's come to set you free. He's come to set our lives free. The more I serve God, the more he sets me free. That's the beauty of it. And when we give God your all, you gain your freedom. When you give God your all, you gain your freedom. When he has your all, he has your ear. When I give God all my love, he gives me all the love I need to give out. That's the way it goes. When I give him all my love, I truly love my master, then he gives me all the love I need to give my spouse, to give my children, to give to others. It comes. But when I don't have him truly there, my love's going to run short. My priorities will change, and I'll not be the husband or the wife I need to be. I won't be the parent I need to be. In order to have that correct love to give out to your children, to your grandchildren, you got to love God with all your heart. Give him everything. This is the glue that keeps the family together. Some of us here, we've had a heart bypass. Anyone here ever had a heart bypass surgery done? Anybody else? Yeah, no one talking about. But some of us here, spiritually, we've had a heart bypass as well. We love hearing the word of God. We love analyzing theology. We love hearing all these things. And so, therefore, to make up for what we hear, we go right to our hands and we start doing things for God, trying to be busy helping the kingdom of God. We're working with our hands and feet, just trying to do things to prove our love for God. God, I hear it here and I want to express it in my hands and my feet. And what we've done is we've bypassed our heart. We went from our brain to our hands, and we haven't stopped and let it sink into our heart. Because, see, He wants us to love Him with all of our heart. All of our heart. Three-dimensional. Everything we are. That's what He's wanting today. He doesn't want you just to say a prayer. He doesn't want you just to say the prayer. But He wants you today to clear your throat first so you can pre-preach. Thank you. Me. There we go. Go. Much better. All right. Today, He doesn't want just us to say the prayer. He wants us to believe it in our heart and to love Him. I mean, just to genuinely love Him. That's why He created us, was to love Him, to fall in love with Him. Quit bypassing our heart, which brings us to our last point. We don't need a heart bypass. We need a heart transplant. Isn't that true? We don't need a heart bypass. We need a heart transplant. Because Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 36:26, and I will give you a what? A new heart. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will take out your stony, stubborn heart. Anybody here ever had one of those? I have. I admit it. Anyone here struggle with your stubborn heart? That's what He says. If you'll love Him with all your heart, look what He says He'll do. I'll take away your stubborn heart, and I'll give you a tender, responsive heart. I can tell you, I have lived this in my life. I know what it is to have a hard heart before the Lord. I want to do my thing and to serve myself. And I remember the time, I remember exactly when it happened, that God began to change my heart. And for the first time, I began to fall in love with Him on a deeper level. And something happened in my heart. I couldn't sit in the worship service without crying. I would be crying. I'm like, what is this thing? I'm leaking. What is this? I don't know what this is. I just couldn't stop crying because my heart was changing. God was changing my heart. And He took this old rough guy, hot-tempered, stubborn. And He gave me a heart that was tender. He gave me a heart that wanted to love Him and wanted to love others. Do I still have that heart? Other heart want to creep in once in a while? Yeah, I do. And when I do, I got to say, God, continue to create in me a new heart. Continue to give me a new heart, because Your word says You'll take away my heart of stone. You'll take away my stubborn nature, and You'll give me a heart that's tender and receptive of You. It only comes when you give Him your heart and love Him every day. As the musicians come this morning, I love this story because it shows us the story of those who want to freely give their heart to the Master. Say, I love the Master with all my heart. It says He must say, first of all, I love my Master with all my heart. I love my wife. I love my children. I'll freely be a slave to You for the rest of my life. They have to go before the judge. They take him out before everybody, before the judge. And they had to take that spike. Pierce the ear with the awl. Signifying that you were willingly giving your life to serve your Master. But the great news is this. Is that our Master, our judge, sent His Son, Jesus Christ. And He willingly took the spikes in His hands and His feet, symbolizing that you and I, who believe in Him now, when we say, God, I choose to love You, not because I have to, but because I want to give my life to You, He already took the piercings. He's already taken the piercing. He already took the awl through His hands and through His feet so that you and I can stand before the judge and say, I am free. Your debt's been paid. And you can walk in a new freedom. That's the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I freely want to serve my master. Because he's already taken the all. He's already taken the spikes in my place. That I can walk and identify with my Savior. I don't have to, but I choose to freely love him. And I want to learn to love him all the time. So my prayer today for you is that we would learn to fall in love with him again. I'm going to ask just to bow your heads for a moment here. Without anybody looking around, I won't embarrass you one bit. I want to give you a chance today. If you're here and say, Pastor, you're talking about this relationship with Jesus Christ. And today I realize I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I need to ask him to be Lord of my life and forgive me my sins. I've never prayed that prayer before. Or maybe you prayed that prayer a long time ago. And today you say, Pastor, I want to come back and renew my commitment to Christ. I haven't lived for him in a long time. And today I want to come back and renew that commitment to him. Without anybody looking but me, can you just raise your hands? That's me. I'm ready today to renew my relationship with Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else want to join these today? Raise it high. If you haven't raised it yet, raise it one more time. Raise it where I can see it one more time. We're going to say this prayer together. Especially those who raise your hands, but as Christians, we're going to say it along with you out loud. Repeat this prayer after me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you all of my life. All of my hurt, all of my sin, all of my dreams, I give it all to you. From this day forward, I'm going to live for you. I believe your son, Jesus, is the Messiah. I will serve him the rest of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you say, welcome to the family of God. Yeah, give him a hand. Before you leave today, stop by our information booth in the back. We have a free Bible. Some information tells you what you need to do next on your journey. This is just the beginning. If you don't have a church home, you need a church home really bad. We'd love to have you here. Get connected with people who are going to support you in your new decision. You need that. You can't make it on your own. You need to surround yourself. It's just the beginning. The rest of us today, I want to ask you to stand on your feet. How many today say, Pastor, I want to learn to love God like I've never loved him before. Today, I want to learn just to fall in love with him. I want to quit just going through the motions, or I want to learn to have a new deep love. See, this is what's awesome about our Savior. He says his mercies are new how many times? Every morning. See, there's something about God he wants to show you new every day. If we'll learn to love him and hear his voice, we haven't even begun to touch the tip of the iceberg of what he wants to reveal to us. But we got to give him a heart. It starts right here, getting out of our comfort zone, saying, God, I want to genuinely learn to love you like I've never loved you before. I want to learn to fall in love with you. I want to learn to love being in your presence. I want to learn to love singing you love songs of worship. I want to love being with people around you. I want to learn to love driving in my car talking to you. I want to learn to love reading your word. I want to learn to love just being and hearing your voice as I give you my ear. It'll change you. I'm telling you, it'll change you. It'll change you. It'll rock your world. This is what God's looking for. Today, if you want to make that commitment, I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet and to come to the front here. We're going to close in this song of worship. And as we do today, if you're saying, Pastor, I want a fresh relationship with God. I want God to do something in my heart, something new. I want to learn to fall in love with him all over again. I want to invite you to come and make your way to the front. Scoot into the front, make room for those coming in. We're going to close with this song today. I tell you, this is such an important thing. I can remember when it happened in my life. Charlie, I can remember when I went from head knowledge to saying, God, it was a heart thing. He changed my heart. I couldn't stop. I loved him and I wanted to be with him, man. I just couldn't get enough of his presence. It changed me. It rocked my world. I'm telling you, when you learn to love God, genuinely love God, It will change who you are. If you guys can step in here to the middle a little bit, fill us in. Thank you. TJ, lead us in a song today as we close the song. Make it the prayer of your heart that we're going to worship Him with all of our heart.
Take this offering that I bring. Humbly I fall on my knees to proclaim your everything. My life's nothing without you. Take my hand and lead me through. You are my sustaining love. I live to worship you. Oh, I live to worship you. Oh, oh Lord, here I am worshiping you. With all I am, worshiping you, I'm bowing down in spirit and truth, with lifted hands, worshiping you.
Come on, everybody, lift up your hands this morning and let's make our declaration this morning. God, with everything that I am, I'm going to give you everything that I am, God, and I'm going to worship you. Oh,
so take this offering that I bring. Humbly I fall on my knees to proclaim your everything.
Oh God, and that's why we say,
I live to worship you.
God, that's why we were created. We were created to worship you, Lord.
Oh, I live to worship you.
Sing it out. Say, here I am, Lord.
Here I am.
Hey, worshiping you. God, with everything in us, Lord. We're going to worship you, Jesus. We're going to fall back in love with you. I'm bowing down, Lord.
Bowing down.
Hey, it's
spirit and truth.
We're lifting hands.
Lifting
hands. Hey, worshiping you. Now come on, lift up a worship to God. Lift up a worship in your own voice, in your own soul. Just begin to love on the Lord. God, we worship you. We bow down before you, God. We make room for your Holy Spirit. We fall back in love with you, God. I come running to you, God. I receive everything that you have to give to us, Lord. And we're not going to be ashamed to bless your name, Jesus. We're not going to be ashamed, Lord. Come on. We're not ashamed of you. We're not ashamed of you. We're not ashamed of you. Oh, help me sing.
We're not ashamed of you. We're not ashamed of you. We're not ashamed of you.
Oh. Yes, we will, Lord.
I'm gonna worship you forever.
Everybody lift up your voice and sing to the Lord. Sing.
I'm gonna worship you.
God, we're gonna worship you.
Forever
and ever, God, because you are the King of Kings.
I'm gonna worship
you are the Lord of Lords, God.
Forever,
and no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, God, we know that we can come to you running, God, and your arms are open, God. And we can just wrap ourselves in your presence, God, and you'll receive us. We're going to worship you. Come on, lift up your hands and let's worship the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Because you're worthy, God. Because you are the King of Kings, Lord. You are the Lord of Lords. You reign on high, God. And that's why we'll worship you, God.
I'm going to worship you.
I'm
going to
worship you.
I'm gonna worship you,
Jesus.
I'm gonna lift my hands, Jesus. Because you're worthy.
Somebody sing it from your heart. I'm gonna worship you.
I'm gonna worship you, Lord.
We're going to raise our hands, Jesus. We're going to raise our voices. And I'm going to worship you.
I'm
going to worship you.
I'm going to worship you.
One more time, lift up your hands.
Here I am.
Bowing down, yeah.
Bowing down,
oh, in
spirit and truth.
With lifted hands, with lifted hands.
Worshiping
one more time, here I am, Lord.
Here I am,
worshiping
you.
With all I am,
all I am,
all I am.
Worshiping you.
I'm bowing down, yeah.
Bowing down.
Oh, in spirit.
Spirit and truth.
With lifted hands.
Lifted
hands. Hey.
Worshiping you.
I believe God is going to do something in your life. I believe those of you here today are allowing that thing that happened in your heart. You're allowing that fresh love for God to come into your life. Don't let it stop here. Don't let it bypass your heart. But say, God created me a new heart. Give me a heart transplant that has a heart that's tender to you, a heart that loves you, a heart that's free from anything that would keep me from going after God's best in my life. I want to learn to love you. Some of you, that's going to be pressed. You're going to press and ask God, God, help me to go there. But I believe, Oscar, it can happen. I believe God's going to do it. Eileen, I believe God's created in you a new heart. I believe God, Jeff, God's doing a great thing in your life, and he's going to create in you a new heart. Darren, God's created in you a great thing. Jason, God's doing something in your life. He's created in you a new heart. I believe that. Sherry, that God is creating in you a new heart. Michelle, God is doing something in your life. Jane, God is wanting to transport your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, raise your hands. Father, in Jesus' name, God, I pray right now that God, you're creating us a new heart. Where we would learn to love you more than anything in our life. That we would learn to love you beyond where we're at right now. And Father, you would create in us a soft heart, a tender heart that would hear your voice again. That God, many of us, we've had that heart before, but we've allowed our own stubbornness. We've allowed our own selfish ways to crowd out your voice. And I pray right now that God, you create in us a new heart. that at a Destiny Church, that God, you would allow a fresh passion to love you, to serve you, to go after the great things of God in our life, for ourselves, for our spouse, for our children, for our friends. Lord, that we would just go after and love you more than anything else in our life. God, I pray right now that, Father, you're creating a new heart. And we say yes to you and amen. If you agree with that, put your hands together and say amen, amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate what God is doing in your heart. Turn around and give somebody a high five, or if you want to give them a hug, say, man, it was good to be with you today. God's doing something great in my life.